Good morning. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 132. 132.
Thank you. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Isaiah 63 for a scripture reading. Isaiah 63, read the first 9 verses. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra, this that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save? Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury. I will bring down their strength to the earth. And I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord, and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. You know why he says that? I'll mention the loving kindness. Because he came from Bozra. Because he tread the winepress alone. Because he was, blood of his garment was stained with our blood when he died for us. And so that's why he said, I'm going to mention the loving kindness of God. The year of my redeemed has come. The year that I've redeemed. Year that I've saved all those that I died for. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. And I love this right here. Talking about our Master, I know who this is talking about. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he buried them and carried them all the days of old. Our glorious, holy, righteous, eternal God of heaven and earth, who spoke this creation into existence, and upholded by the word of your power. You, Lord, who no one can question. And if they do, they'll find out that you're God, and beside you there is none other. That you sit on a throne, and you don't borrow leave to be. You sit there, in all your glory, in all your power, in all your majesty. You sit there, Lord Jesus Christ, not on a cross, not in a manger, but sit on a throne with all power and glory vested in you, all salvation of your people vested in you, the blood of your righteousness and the blood of your body that was shed for sinners like ourselves. Oh, Lord, we bless you. Bless you that the year of your redeemed has come. The day of your vengeance was come. And you brought vengeance upon all of us, to sin so greatly against you. And Lord, you wreaked out your vengeance on us. And because the Lord Jesus Christ bore it all, we'll never have to face you in judgment. Never have to face you, oh God, with fear and trembling. So Lord, we come to bless you and praise you. And Lord Jesus, we gathered here to worship this morning, gathered here to honor your blessed, glorious name, to preach a gospel And Lord, we pray for those who are not converted, that You in Your sovereign mercy and sovereign will would do for them what You've done for all Your people for all eternity. Save them by Your grace. Subdue them by Your power. It says, in the day of Your power, Your people are made willing. May Your power be made manifested today, that Your people might be made willing. Willing to believe Christ. Willing to bow to Christ. Willing to be washed in the blood of Christ. Willing to have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Willing to have the Lord be their master. So Lord, meet with us today. Bless the dear saints of God. Enable us to honor and glorify You and be merciful, merciful, merciful to our lost loved ones. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Hymn number 497. Together as we sing the hymn of the day in the bulletin.
Now, if you'll turn with me to the book of Mark from a message today. We've been going through the book of Mark, and I'm just in verse 12 and 13. We'll talk about our Lord's temptation. Our Lord's temptation. It says in verse 12 and 13, Mark chapter 1, "And immediately the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him." Now, this is the only place where it says, you know, there's three different places where the temptation of Christ is mentioned. Here is the only place where it says he was with the wild beast and the angels ministered unto him. It's the only place, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, it talks about the temptation of Christ and doesn't mention that. And Luke does too. But when it says he drives him into the wilderness, he was there tempted. When he talks about the word tempted, the word tempt has two different meanings. And they come from two different sources. You know, God tempted Abraham. That means he tried him. He tried Abraham. God did that. God tried Abraham. And that word tempt, that's what it means, try. And as God, and then the other meaning of it is to entice, to draw away, to lay a snare for. And that as that's what it means when it's talked about it tempted Christ, enticed him, tried to draw him away, to entice the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't think the devil has much problem enticing us, but to entice the Lord Jesus Christ, to go after the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a whole nother story. And God's trials for us are always for our good. We know that without a shadow of a doubt. We know that all things work together for our good. To them that are called of God's purpose and loved, called by God's blessed person. There's not a thing that happens in our life or in anybody we love's life that God Almighty says it's not for our good. And then Peter says, "Think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you." Job says, "When I am tried, I shall come forth as gold." And I'll tell you something about the Lord's people. How many times have we prayed, "Lord, try me. Try me. And if you find any way in me, any wicked way, any evil way, anything in me that's not right, that not gives you the glory, that's against you in any way, oh Lord, please, please try me. Try me. Don't dare leave me to myself. Don't leave me to my own devices. Don't leave me to my own power. Don't leave me to my own way. Please, Lord, if I've got secret faults, bring them to the light. Keep me back from presumptuous sins." And when Satan, God's trials are for good, but when Satan tries a person, it's always for evil. Always for evil. You know, when he's called the serpent, he's called the dragon, he's called the angel of light, he's called a lion, he's most called a master beguile, he's called the liar of all liars. And you know, he's a master beguiler. But everything that he does is for evil. It's for evil. You know, you see these depictions sometimes, God sitting on your right shoulder, devil sitting on your left. And they're both whispering in your ears, "No, that's not the way it works. No, that's not the way it works. He's a serpent. And you know, I believe that he was in the Garden of Eden when he tempted Adam and Eve, and Eve was deceived and fell. I believe he is an upright being. I believe he is upright. And when God cursed him, and he said, "You're going to eat of the dust of the earth from now on," that's when he became a crawling thing. But he's always meant it for evil. You know, he came to Job, he said, "If you consider my servant Job," said, "let me at him. Let me at him, and I'll have you cursing him. He'll curse you to your face." So he means it for evil. And then he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He comes to God himself in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to look at the time and notice several things about our Lord's temptation. Look what it says back here in verse 9 of chapter 1. Look at the time. "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, 'Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" You know the time that he was tempted? After the heavens were open, after God declared who he was, after God said, "This is my beloved Son, this is the one I'm well pleased in." It was immediately after God owned him and said, "This is my beloved Son, I'm well pleased in him." And when the Holy Ghost descended upon him, that's when Satan drove him. He was driven into the wilderness. There's an order here. He's owned by the Father, my beloved Son. He's anointed by the Holy Spirit. God blessed him with the Holy Spirit. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and went about doing good. And then he was tempted of the devil right after the heavens were opened, right after God said, "This is my Son," right after. And let me tell you something. It's after a great blessing in God owning somebody when the trials really come. It was after Paul had been caught up to the third heaven. When he come back and I seen things that I can't utter, I can't tell you about. But after he was caught up to the third heaven, that was when the messenger of Satan was sent unto him and buffeted him. And he said, asked the Lord 3 times, "Take this away from me." And it was after he was caught up to the third heaven, that Satan was sent to buff him. It was after God's testimony of Job. He said, "If you considered my servant Job a perfect, just, and an upright man, he hates evil." He saw Satan said, "Listen, if you let me at him, he'll cuss you to your face." Well, he didn't do it. Said, "Oh, listen, didn't he hold to his integrity?" "Yeah, but listen, you put a hedge around him. Take that hedge down and I'll destroy him. I'll destroy him." You see, he always means it for evil. And the Spirit anoints us, and that's when Satan tries us. He despises giving up those goods that's in his palace. And I tell you, he takes people in snares. Snares. And look at the place where he went. Back here in Mark chapter 1. Now look here what he said. He was the place where he was driven to. Into the wilderness. Into the wilderness. Into the wilderness. You know, when Adam was tempted, when Adam fell, when Adam brought us all into sin, he was in paradise. He was in paradise. He was what called the Garden of Eden. He was Lord over that place. God made him Lord over that. Tend this garden. But he was tempted and fell in the Garden of Eden, in paradise. Where was our Lord at? He was driven to the wilderness. Driven into the wilderness. Huh? But our Master, here he's alone. He's alone in the desert. And it says here he's not only alone in the wilderness, but he's 40 days tempted of Satan. But our Master's alone in the desert. Look what else it says. With a wild beast. Now what kind of wild beast do you reckon there was? Lions? Lions? Tigers? I don't know. But it says he was there with the wild beast. And the wild beast did not bother him. You know the only person that bothered him? And the only one that had anything to do with him and wanted anything to do with him, overthrow him, was Satan himself. Huh? And I'll tell you something. Our master's alone in the desert among the wild beast. And all, listen, all of our Lord's battles. And our Lord had a lot of battles. And our Lord's battles, He fought every single one of them alone. I read it to you out of Isaiah 63. He tread the winepress alone. He faced the wrath of God alone. And I tell you, He fought every battle alone. He fought alone in the wilderness with the devil. He was alone in the Garden of Eden. He was alone when God gave him that cup to drink. He was alone when he was pressing, going through the wine press of the wrath of God. And he was alone when he was on the cross, when he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, he was alone. And soul battles are solemn battles. And I tell you, he was tempted alone in the wilderness by himself. Everything our Lord Jesus Christ did, he did it by himself. He had no one to help him. Said the angels came and ministered unto him, but that was after the battle. And then look what it says. And you know, he told us, he said, when you're tempted, 1 Corinthians 10:13 said, when you're tempted, he said, that you're able to bear. When it gets so heavy and the burden gets so bad and the temptation gets so great, you know what God said? He said, I'll make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He never fails, never fail. And then look at the one who was tempted. It was the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to turn with me now to Luke chapter 4. We need to go through this over here to see the temptations. It's just, there's things mentioned there, but look now with me in Luke chapter 4. And let's go through this thing about the place. The place was in the wilderness. Our Lord Jesus Christ was alone. He was there with the wild beast. Wild beast. And oh my. In verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And our Lord answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, who was the tempted one? It says, Jesus. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost. When we take the name of Jesus, that tells us about His humanity. Our Lord Jesus Christ was a man. Sinless man, perfect man, holy man, the God-man. And that this, when God came and told Mary, He said, you're going to have a child. And you know what you're going to name him? Jesus. Jehovah Savior. That's what you're going to name him. And yet he was the Son of God. He was the Son of God. And this shows us our Lord Jesus Christ being tempted. How truly human. How truly he identified with us. And of course we know that God can't be tempted. But our Lord Jesus Christ, here he was in temptation. You reckon he gave in to this temptation? You reckon he is able to be tempted? You reckon he was able to give in to this temptation? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But he was tempted. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And I want you to keep Luke 4, and I want you to see something over here in Hebrews chapter 2. This is something about our Master. I never get weary of talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and His blessed person and His glorious work. And here He is. He's got to be tempted. And you know what He said? He was tempted in every point. Every point. Like unto us. Like unto us. Yet, He's without sin. Yet He's without sin. And look what is said here in verse 14 of Hebrews 2. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, through dying, He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And that's the first death. That's that death of sin. That death of sin. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, verily, He took not on Him the nature of angels. He didn't become like Gabriel and Michael. No, no. But He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Abraham said, I'm going to give you a seed. And Abraham said, he believed that promise, and God blessed him. So he was of the seed of Abraham. He was a human being. He was a man. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him, it was necessary for him to be made like unto his, what? Brethren. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of His people. For in that He Himself hath suffered, being tempted, He is able to bring people to Himself, that He put their sin away. Oh my, can you see that? He was tempted, yet without sin. And His temptation was intense, extremely intense. You know why it was intense for Him? Because of His holy nature. Sin's not so bad to us. Because we got this old flesh to deal with. We got this old fallen nature to deal with. We got this old demonic nature to deal with. And you know we struggle over this business. The flesh lusts against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. And they're contrary one to the other. And they war against one or the other. The Spirit won't let us be as fleshly as we would. And the flesh won't let us be as fleshly as we would. God keeps us. And I tell you what, but temptation don't... But what it was so... It's not so intense to us, but to the Lord Jesus Christ it was so intense because of His holy nature. He was holy. And then because of His holy nature... Oh my. And I tell you, oh, look what happens now. Back over here in Luke 4. Look at the nature of this temptation. He could only deal with Christ without, because Satan could find nothing in Him whatsoever. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, it's time for me to go. He said, Satan is coming and he finds nothing in me. Now, he finds something in us to tempt us. He found something in our parents to tempt them. He found something in Adam and Eve to tempt them. But everything, he works at us from within. But our Lord Jesus Christ, he can only deal with him from without. And it was a threefold temptation. First was all first was this one. In verse 3, look here, Luke 4:3. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. If you're who you say you are, and he knew who he was, command this stone that it be made bread. Now he hasn't eaten. He hasn't drank anything. He's 40 days. Now, did this thing take place in one day? At the last day? The 40th day? I don't know. But it said he was hungry. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. He hadn't drunk a drop of water. 40 days. 40 days. And then you know he was hungry and said, there's a stone right here. There's a rock right here. And if you're as hungry and you're the Son of God, take that rock there and turn it into a piece of bread and eat it. Because I know you're hungry. I know you're starving. And you know our Lord answered him. Answered him. And I tell you what, the only answer that our Lord Jesus Christ answered him was that there's something more precious than bread. Something more precious that you need than you're hungry than bread. And you know what it was? Look in verse 4. And our Lord answering said, it is written. That's the first thing he said. This is what God said. And every one of these things that he says here comes out of the book of Deuteronomy. And he said, it is written. And that's what we always got to go by. It is written. My opinion, your opinion, our speculation, our theories has nothing to do with what we think in this world. It has to do with what God says. And our Lord Himself said, it is written. It is written. What did He say? That man shall not live by bread alone. If you want to really live, you can't just live by what you eat. Our Lord said the life is more than the clothes. The life is more than the bread. The life is more than the water. The life, He's talking about our souls. And He goes on to say that bread by every word of God. Oh my. Just, you know, the Word of God is more precious. I don't know how many people come to services, especially on Wednesday night. They come from work. They don't take time to eat supper. They don't take time to have anything. And they come straight to the service. Because they know and understand how precious they need the Word of God. I'd rather be fed with the Word of God and sit down to the best meal that has ever been prepared. I'd rather have God's Word. And David said, Lord, let me hide Thy Word in my heart that I might not sin against You. Oh, the Word. Our Lord Jesus Christ said the Word was His meat. Jeremiah said, this Word is honey to me. Job said, it's more than my necessary food. The Lord says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And we're all going to go home. We're going to eat lunch. We're going to eat dinner. But the most necessary thing we need right now is what we're getting right now. That's more necessary than anything in this world that we could ever do. Huh? Our Lord said this, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. You just think it. But He said, listen, when you really understand they testify of Me, then you got life. Oh my. I'll tell you somebody that didn't think the Word was very important. Esau didn't think it was very important. Esau didn't think it was very important. Oh, Eve was tempted to eat, and she did. Oh, my. But it's, you know, people want so much self. You know, Satan wants him to have self-satisfaction. Turn a rock into bread. And that's what most folks want in this world. They want two things. They want to be happy. Want to be happy. Whatever that means, want to be happy. And they want to have some satisfaction in what they possess and what they own. And all the accomplishments that they've had. I've accomplished this, I've accomplished that. They want to be satisfied with their own righteousness. They want to be satisfied with their own work. They want to be satisfied with their own merit. And when you give them the Word of God, give them the bread. I loathe. You know what Israel said? We loathe this light bread. God fed them manna from heaven. And they said, we loathe it. But our Lord said, I'm that true bread that came down from heaven. Then look what else He wanted Him to do. Here's the second thing he wanted to do, to destruct, to self-destruction. Look down here in verse 9. And up here in verse 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem. Brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Cast thyself down from hence. Oh my. He took him up first. That's one of Satan's. I'll tell you, Satan's master plan is either whitewash you or wash you white. You know, and he lifted him up. And what he does is he takes us up real, real high. Makes us feel so good about ourselves and oh, all that we all know. Oh man, I was telling some wisdom. They got that little baby back there and I said, no wonder these kids grow up thinking that they're the greatest thing since electric light when everybody stands around and stares at them. And everybody talks to them in baby talk. And then when they grow up and get 2 years old, shut up! Be still. I thought you said I was great. Don't shut up. Sit down. You see, that's the way we do. And that's what he did. He took him up first. He took him up. Set him on a pinnacle. And the higher we get, the higher he can get any of us, the greater our fall will be. Pride goeth before destruction. A haughty spirit goes before the fall. You know, God said, He said, six things I hate, seven are an abomination. You know what the first one was? He said, I hate even a proud look. A proud look is an abomination to me. Huh? Oh my. And look what He said. He said, for it is written. He quoted the Scriptures, see. He quotes the Scriptures. And I tell you, you know his favorite Scripture is? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. They don't care. They don't care to find out all the other meanings of it. But that's His best. Here's His lies. He said, it is written that Christ loves everybody. It is written that God loves everybody. It is written that Christ died for everybody. And not one of them's true. But that's what preachers tell people. That's what people... God... Do you know who God loves? He loves those for whom He died. And He loved them with an everlasting love. And if Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, died for every soul and every person in this world, it would be impossible for them not to be saved. That's how powerful He is. That's how precious His blood is. That's how cleansing His blood is. And you think God would put His Son on a cross and leave the salvation of anybody up to their own will and not up to the will of God, not to the blood of Christ, but to the free will of man and man's own choice? That's what He said. It is written. And He comes along, tells everybody, it's written. It is written. And then you come along, tell them that, no, that's not written in the Bible. You know the word love's not in the book of Acts. And when it talks about God so loving the world, He loved, that means that He loved every tribe, kindred, every kind of character that there is. Every kind of care. Somebody like me, He could love me. As sorry as I am, as sinful as I am, as wretched as I am, He could love me. And as far away from God as I was, He could die for me. And as sinful as I was, His blood could wash away my sin. And as far away as I was, He said, I can send the power and I can make Him willing in the day of my power. Satan loves to say it is written. But he said he's the liar and the father of liars. Oh my, but he took him up. Look what he says. He shall give his charge, angels charge over thee to keep thee. And that's true. That says that over in the Psalm. It says that in Psalm 91. And look what he says. And he said, you know what? He said, you know, just jump off of here. Cast yourself down. The angels, he said, he's told the angels to watch out for you. And they'll bear thee up. They'll come and catch you, lest at any time you even buff your foot against a stone. He said, God won't even let you bump your foot against a stone. Oh my. You know what our Lord said? He said, you're right. You're right. You just said what God said about me. But he said, what I said is I'm not going to put myself in that position where I force God to save me. He said, I will not presume that he'll catch me if I jump. I'll not presume he'll stop me if I cast myself down. And oh my. And I have no wonder David said, keep me back from presumptuous sins. I don't know how many times I've come here and presumed, you know, because I've got an outline, and especially at times I say, well, I've got it in my mind, and get up here and just flounder around. That's what presumption will get you, floundering. And oh my, don't never, ever put yourself in a situation where you think, well, God, you know, get over here and get deep, dark, get deep in sin, or do this, that, or the other, and say, well, God will save me. God will save me. I've got myself in this awful situation. God will save me. But I, Lord, said, I tell you what, I'm not going to jump off of here. I'm not going to tempt the Lord. I'm not going to put myself in a situation where God has to come to my rescue. And what he meant was for us to presume on God and just do anything. Because we're saved by grace, we can do anything. We can tell any kind of filthy joke. We can drink till we don't know we're in this world. We can lie, we can steal, we can cheat. And though that God, we're all of grace. Grace, God doesn't give us grace to give us an ability to sin. He gives us grace to keep us back from it, don't you see? But oh, our Lord said, I ain't going to do that. And look what he answered to him. And our Lord answered him, verse 12. It said unto him, he said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Oh, don't tempt him. Don't tempt him. Don't put yourself in a situation, you know, to tempt God. Don't tempt God. Whatever you do, don't tempt God. And then look what the third one is, this self-glorification. In verse 5, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. That's why I think all this took place just at one time. And oh, he took him up and he looked, he showed him the whole world and all the kingdoms. Showed him England, Persia, America, all these places where all the kings of the earth, showed him Babylon, all these great places, all these wonderful, all these kingdoms all over the whole world, kings and powers and all those things. And the devil said unto him, all this power, all this glory, all this glory will I give unto thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me to whomsoever I will give it. If therefore thou wilt worship me, all shall be yours. Worship me. That's what he wants. Worship me. And what he's telling our Lord Jesus Christ is this. There's an easier way to get the kingdoms of this world than to go into a cross and dying. There's an easier way to get this world and all that's in it and all the glory of it than having to go to a cross without having to go to death. But oh my, he is a liar and the father of it. This is how he deceived Eve. And I'm going to tell you something. The kingdoms are not his to give. They never had belonged to him. That's why he's called a liar. You know, God, you know how many times it says that that he has a kingdom with no end to his dominion, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he is, here's Satan. He's a liar. And the scriptures tells us the Father hath given all things into his hands, into Christ's hands. And oh my. And what he's telling our Lord Jesus Christ, trying to deceive him, is the world don't need saving by the blood. The Lord don't need saving by your death. The world don't need to be, your people don't need to be saved by your suffering. All you got to do is just worship men. You can have it all. But don't let him deceive you this way. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Whatever you think you have will be an illusion. And you'll lose it and learn that when you see the King of Kings. Look what our Lord answered. And Jesus said unto them, get thee behind me, Satan. How could he call Satan to get behind him when he had all the kingdoms? If he had all the kingdoms, Christ wouldn't have said, get thee behind me, Satan. Huh? If he had all the kingdoms and had all the power that he says he has, do you think Christ wouldn't have said, get behind me? I mean, get behind me now. You see, a sovereign don't ask. He commands. He tells. And this shows you the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in his humanity. Get behind me, devil! Ain't you glad that's where he's at? Ain't you glad God's got him on a chain? Oh, my. Look here what he says. And I, Lord, said, oh, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I mean, I got to hurry. I know I do. I'm wearing you out. But look at the tempter, the devil. He's a person. He really is. He's a person. And he has great power. But you know what his power is? Delusion and lies. That's his power. He uses deceit. He uses guile. He uses pride. He uses lies. And oh, he'll take a picture and he'll paint you this beautiful picture and say, oh my, this... Oh, you can have all this right here. All you got to do is just leave the gospel, leave Christ, leave where the gospel is, and go on, and then go on and do what you got to do. And one of these days you'll decide I'm going to go and worship God. One of these days I'm going to get saved, and He'll deceive you and delude you into thinking, oh, this is the prettiest thing I've ever seen, until you find out it's just a delusion, huh? He used deceit and guile. You see, let me tell you something. Wicked and deceit are already in us. So he don't have to work with a whole lot. He said a strong man armed keeps his goods until a stronger arm comes upon him. Huh? And let me tell you something. There's a rich guy one time. A rich man. A very, very rich man. He had so much money that he tore down everything he owned. Oh, he said, look at all I own. He said, listen, I've made so much money, and I'm so wealthy, and I'm so rich, I'm going to tear down everything I got, and I'm going to hire a bunch of people to build me twice as much as I had before. Some place to store everything I own. I want a place to put it. And do what he said. He said, oh my. He says, now soul, take thine ease, for thou hast many goods stored up. And you know what God said? You fool, this night your soul's required of you. This night. Oh, he deceived that man, didn't he? Huh? Oh my. He's the God of this world outside of Christ, where everybody's his slaves. And then look at the fight of faith. the means our Lord used to battle the devil, and it's the only word, only thing we got, the Word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh, dividing asunder the soul and spirit. Faith, oh, as our Lord Jesus Christ said, it is written. That's what we say, Lord, I believe what you said. I believe you. Abraham believed God, and God said, you're a righteous man. God is true. Let every man be a liar. Let God be true. Oh, my. Faith cometh by hearing. And Paul told us, fight the good fight of faith. Use the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Let me show you something in John. I'll take just a few more minutes. Over here in John chapter 6 with me. Look in John 6. I think this is appropriate. John 6 and verse 66, talking about the fight of faith. Our Lord used the Word to battle the devil. And the only means we've got is what God said. Believe what God said. Look what He said here in verse 66. From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And look, and we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's where faith is at. I believe that You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And then look at the victory. Look at the victory in verse 13. Back over here in our text. And when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him for a season. Oh, he's not done. He's not done. Oh, no, he's not done. But I tell you what, he can't win. He never has defeated one of God's people yet. Never has. Never will. I'm thankful our Lord fought the battle. Our Lord fought the battle. And thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not every once in a while, always. You know, that's why I'm so happy all the time. Well, I shouldn't say happy, joyful. That's why I'm so full of joy all the time. That's why, you know, you hardly ever find me. Well, I just don't complain, publicly anyway. I don't complain publicly anyway. Mm-mm, oh, we ain't going to do that. That'd be dishonor to God. We don't want to do that, do we? I don't want Satan, you know, Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. We're not. We're not. We're not going to complain. We're not going to find fault. And we ain't going to say, God, this is not anything but God. Amen. Our Father, oh, our gracious God, in the blessed name of Christ our Lord, thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth as it is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you're the Savior, the only Savior in this world. You're the Savior, the only Savior of sinners. You're the Savior of all those that are sick. You're the Savior of those that are far off. You're the Savior of the lost sheep. And we bless you for it. Bless these dear saints. God bless the gospel to the hearts of those who are not yet believers. Bring glory to yourself and the salvation of your people. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. great salvation, so full and free. See you tonight, 6 o'clock, God willing.